Well, James chapter 3, I'm going to read from the King James Version, and you can follow along in whatever translation you have. But I just want to read these verses again, verses 1 through 12. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word," say not in word, "the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." That's interesting. That means we can control our whole body with what? Our words. That means we can control habits, we can control addictions, we can control appetites with our words. You know, I hear some folks sometimes say this, "I just have a taste for this." And, you know, we all laugh because we've all heard that. And we may have even been the ones that said that. "I just have a taste for this," right? So let me ask this question. Who's controlling who? Is your taste controlling you, or are you controlling that, the taste? Because there's, I don't want to say it in a negative way, I don't want to say there's anything wrong with that, but when your taste drives you, there's something out of order. I heard Brother Hagin say this years ago when he was alive. He said when he was a young man, 15, 16, you know, this is back in Depression days when he was alive, he'd say, you know, he would go down into town, and every time he'd go into town, somebody would offer him a pop. You know, I mean, they call it a pop. It's a soda. And he'd say, "Thank you." And he'd say every day somebody'd hand him a pop or a soda. And he got to the point where his body began to crave that soda. And he started looking forward to that soda pop. And then after a while, he realized it was controlling him, the desire to have it and to want it. And he realized that, and he said, "I'm not going to do that this time. I'm not going to take the soda pop. I'm deciding." And you know, there's a lot of folks today that can't control their appetites, whatever that is, right? It could be anything. And so what this is saying here is that as we mature, a perfect man doesn't just mean somebody who never makes a mistake. It means somebody who's developed more maturely. It says here, they're able to bridle the whole body. That means you can control your whole body with your tongue. That's what that means. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So that means the ship doesn't decide the direction. It means the rudder at the direction of the person in control of the ship decides the direction. That means you decide the direction of your life, not your tongue. That means you, in your soulish realm, you decide what your tongue is going to say, and that tongue then will direct your life, the words coming out. Amen? That's exactly what that means. Or you could say, in a more modern term, you could say that your steering wheel in your car directs, you tell that steering wheel the direction you're going, right? That's what that means. And this verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a little matter a little fire kindleth," or "a great matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And we've said this before, if hell can inspire your tongue, so can heaven. Heaven can inspire my tongue, and it does, and it does yours also. "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Well, we know the answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And that's exciting to me because that means that if you bless, you can't get a curse. It cannot produce a curse. If you bless with your words, if you release heaven-inspired words, you cannot expect curse. Thus, if you release some things out of your mouth that are not heaven-inspired, you cannot expect a blessing. You cannot expect it. That's what this is saying. Now let's turn over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. And the King James, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. It didn't say is, it says shall be. So there's a future tense here. So that means shall be, that means something precedes something, right? So that means that your confession or what you say with your mouth must precede the possession of something. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I like that. It says shall, not might be. If I release faith-filled, life-filled words, I shall eat the fruit of that. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So the increase starts in your mouth. If you want an increase in finances and you don't have them, where does it start? Where does it begin? It begins in your mouth. If you want healing in your body, you want something changed in your body, where does the increase start? It starts in your mouth. Well, we know it gets down in your heart, but what gets down in your heart's got to come out of your mouth. And that's where it starts. The healing, the faith begins to speak increase before it looks and feels like it. So we've looked at this. Let me just read a few other translations. I like this. The New International Version. Verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. The Good News Translation, verse 21, it says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. Well, let me back up and read 20 in the Good News Translation. It says, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. That's pretty strong. You're going to have to live with the consequences of what you say in life, everything you say. And what you say can either preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. The Complete Jewish Bible, it says, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth, with what his lips produce, he will be filled. The tongue has the power over life and death. And the Message translation says, words kill and words give life. And so we look at this particular area here. And what I wanted to look at tonight is just some natural examples of setting... well, let's turn over just for a minute. We look at this scripture in Hebrews 11:1. We know it, but let's look at it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? The faith that you have is the evidence of things hoped for. Hallelujah. Evidence of things, what? Not seen. So faith is the substance, or now faith is the substance, or it's the ground or confidence of things hoped for, things you expect, the evidence of things not seen. So, one thing, how many have most of us do, if you live in the United States, maybe overseas, that's different, but everybody in this room either owns a home or rents a home or lives in an apartment, you all have a thermostat in your house, don't you? And you use that to do what? Set the heat or the air conditioning. Now, maybe two different units. You may have central air conditioning or heat, and that may call for both. I know some of the units we have here in this building, are both, and some are different. They're called heat pumps, and so they work a little differently. But all of us either have that, or you have something separate. You have baseboard heat, or you have air conditioning in the wall or whatever, but you have a thermostat. You have something that sets what you desire, right? So that thermostat sets the desired temperature that you want in the house. But would you not agree that the thermostat does not have the power to make it cool in the house or warm? Does it? So that means that just setting, speaking something without it coming from the heart. See, remember what we said before? We said two things. Faith, in order for it to work, it must be what? It must be in your heart and it must be in your mouth. So if I speak something but it doesn't just come from my heart, it's not going to work if it's not in my heart, right? So if I go and I just say something and I don't believe it, it doesn't work, right? So if I have the thermostats, these things here, you know, what's interesting is nobody, if it's, you want your house to be set at a certain temperature. Now don't tune out on me here because these are things that help us. But if you set your thermostat at your home, nobody would come in and question you and say, you're lying. Why are you setting your thermostat? It's not 70 degrees in here. Why are you setting it at 70 degrees? It's 100 out. Well, that's what I want it to be. I'm setting the goal. It's my goal setter. I'm setting this thermostat to 70 degrees because it's what? It's what I want. It's what I desire. Nobody would question you. Nobody'd say, you're a fool. Why are you doing that? Because what? That's what we expect. We know the unit is connected. It's hooked up. There's electricity to it, and it functions, right? So we set that. So the heart of man is designed just like that unit. That unit is designed to do what? Produce heat and cold. It's designed to do that. That's all it's designed to do. It doesn't wash your clothes. It doesn't clean your house. It doesn't cook your dinner for you. It doesn't do any of that, right? All it does is produce heat or cold. That's it. That's what it's designed to do. And so the engineers designed to do what? They put this thermostat to send an impulse to this unit that's designed to do what? Generate heat or cold. And that, my friends, is exactly what we have here. We have your tongue sets a goal. Your tongue releases a goal and says, this is what I desire. This is what I say, right? I'm doing what? I'm releasing the promises of God. See, and what happens is, if you, like that thermostat, if you begin to set a goal with your tongue, nobody questions you by setting the thermostat to 70 degrees. But they'll question you when you decide to say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus and by his stripes. I'm prosperous. Then they begin to say, well, you're not healed, you look sick. But I'm decreeing, I'm setting the goal of what? What I desire. Just like that thermostat. No difference. And the heart of man is designed, it doesn't set, that's the other thing. The air conditioning unit does not decide what to set the temperature to. We do. The thermostat, we walk over to the thermostat, we set that thermostat to a desired temperature. That heating unit does not decide whether he's going to send heat or cold. And it'll work day and night until it reaches what? The temperature that you've set. It'll keep working day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. You don't have to fast and pray. You don't have to wring your hands and wonder whether it's working. It's working. Whether you do anything or not. Why? Because it's designed to do that. And your heart is the soil. Your heart, like that unit, doesn't decide to set the goal. All your heart is to do what? Reproduce and produce faith. It's designed to release faith. But you've got to do what? Plant the seed with your what? Your tongue. And so just like your heart, or like that unit, your heart does not decide what to set the goal to. Your heart doesn't do that. What you do is you what? You plant seed in it. You plant seed in it. You plant seed in it. And if you want to know, just like a farmer, what does a farmer do? The soil doesn't decide what it's going to produce. It produces what you do what? What you plant in it. So if you want to know, look at, just for a second, go over to Mark 4 and look at this here for a second. Mark 4:26, it says, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground." So a seed really is a goal setter. The soil does not decide what it's going to produce. If you want to know what the farmer's goal is, look at the seed that he's planting. The seed is the goal. I want corn. I'm not planting something else. So the seed, the sower sets the goal based on the seed that they plant. Right? Does everybody see this? I'm just using some natural examples here. So if you don't like the harvest you're getting, change the seed. Change the goal. Right? That's what we're talking about. So if you are, you know, like the thermostat on that wall, you've got to set the goal of the desired outcome. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to set the goal with your words. And those words have to be what? Have to be God's words. And those words have to be, and that's what we're talking about in Romans 12:2, when it talks about that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed, what? By the renewing of your mind so that you can prove. Well, that's setting a goal. I'm proving what God's word says. How am I doing that? By releasing some words, right? So if we want a desired result, or if we don't like the desired results, or we're looking to something, right? Now we know all of this. If God's promised it, then it's mine. I don't have to ask God for it. It's mine. I have to take it and receive it. If God says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, I don't have to ask Him for that. I have to do what? Believe what the Word of God says, receive it, receive that promise, and begin to say, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. How? By the Holy Ghost. So that means I do walk in love with people. Whether I feel like it or not. The air conditioning unit and the heating unit doesn't say, I don't feel like producing heat today. The heating unit does not decide what it wants to do. It responds to the temperature set on the thermostat. And so your heart cannot decide. Your flesh does. And your mind gets in connection with your flesh, and you override your heart. But your heart has the ability to walk in love with people. And your heart has the ability to let the life of God rise up in it and let God's life respond and touch your body. But you've got to release what's like the thermostat. How do we set the thermostat? We set the thermostat by going over there. It calls for heat or temperature. The unit doesn't decide. It doesn't say, I don't want to do that. No, I don't feel like setting going to 70 degrees. I think I'll go. And think about this. How would the results of that unit work? I've never done it. I'm sure people I can't say that. Some folks have done it here just out of frustration. It's too hot in here. So what do? Jack it down to 68 or 60, and it's not responding quick enough. But it's working. It's working. It is working. But what's happened is it's gotten so hot in the room, it's going to take some time for that condition to change. But what happens is folks will go over and go, it's not working, and change the setting, right? And folks will do that. How do they change the setting? By the words they say. They'll look at the conditions and say, it's not working. And that's just like taking the thermostat and doing this, moving it. And yet, the unit is working. It's not going to change. It's going to produce. Now, given all the conditions, the unit working right, we understand if all the functions of the unit are working properly and it's sized properly for the room, then it will cool the room or heat it. Given enough time, it will work. And so it's the same thing. Think of this. You can't take somebody that doesn't know that this air conditioning unit is connected to this thermostat. Some person that's, let's say, is from out in the woods somewhere says, man, I like that. I'm going to go buy me one. Where did you buy that? Let me go buy that and stick that up on the wall and set it to 70 degrees. It ain't going to work. It's not working. Why is it not working? Because it's not connected to the heart. And the heart of man is like this unit. It works because it's connected to the tongue. It's connected to the thermostat. You see? So if one is not connected to the other, it doesn't work. So I can go out and buy a thermostat and stick it on a wall, and you can set it to whatever temperature you want, and it's not producing anything because it's not connected to the heart. What is the heart? The air conditioning unit, the heating unit. That unit is the heart, like the heart of man. You see? So these simple examples that we're using, you know, we've said it a lot of different ways, but the revelation of knowing that if I don't like something, then I've got to look at what I'm setting. What goal have I set? What did I set on the thermostat? The farmer doesn't just decide to throw seed. When he plants seed, he's thinking about what? The outcome, the goal. So you could say the same thing. That farmer is setting the thermostat by the seed that he throws in the ground. He's throwing seed in the ground. He's setting the temperature, just like this person going over to a thermostat, because that's the goal he wants. He wants 70 degrees. The farmer wants a harvest of corn or broccoli or whatever it is. So he throws seed in the ground. Doing what? Faith is the substance of something expected, the evidence of something not seen. So when we see that, when we're looking to accomplish some goals in life, then we've got to do what? Set that thermostat. We've got to set that goal with what? It's got to be connected to the heart, but it's got to be spoken. It's got to be released, right? Amen. I hope you're getting some of this. Because we've said this. You know, I'm going to say this. Knowing, sometimes we say we need to understand something. It's not intellectually understanding something. That's not what it is. Because you can have it in your head, but it's not in your heart. When you know something, yes, that's understanding in a sense, but when you know it, that's different. You could say, well, yeah, I know my name is such and such, but when you know it, you can't be shaken from it, right? Think about this. You've said your name so long that you don't even think about it, do you? It's part of you. You know it. It's me. That's my name. Right? But how did that come about? How did that knowing come about? You said it and said it. Every time you introduced yourself, my name. Somebody said, what's your name? My name is. You've said it so much that it's something that you know, not intellectually. You know it. This is my name. And that's the same way we've said it so long that we know it. And that's the same way with the Word of God. And if we keep setting that thermostat or our tongue with the Word of God, we keep releasing that, it's working. It's working. The heart's working. When the heart and the tongue connected, it's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. You may not see it initially, but keep saying it. Don't change the thermostat. Keep saying the Word of God. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep releasing it. And you will, what? Receive a harvest. That's exactly what we were reading over here in Proverbs 18. That's exactly what we're saying. It said that you will receive, what does it say here? It says you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Or we said before, that the tongue does what? It's like the bit. It controls everything, all of your entire body. Well, in this case, it says it defileth. I'll look at it and say, everything I say blesses my entire body. You don't have to defile it. Because if it's inspired of heaven, then it blesses. Right? Glory to God. And let's look at, let's just so that we're here, let's look at Mark 11, 23 again. Sometimes we need to just release these words, speak it again, and talk about it, because the more I find that, how many have ever experienced this when you're collaborating and you're talking about something that you're designing or you're doing and you're working through a design, the more you talk about it, clarity comes. That's why when you see big companies like Apple and all of that, they'll have design teams get together, and what do? They talk about the design. They talk about it. They collaborate, and what? In the talking, clarity comes. Well, sometimes the same thing works here. The more we talk about the Word of God, what happens? Faith comes. Insight, revelation comes in the Word of God. The more we talk it, the more we speak it, the Holy Ghost will unfold and reveal. So Mark 11, 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And I like that when it says things, hallelujah, this is not qualifying what those things are. But I like this here, you know, again, we're looking at the heart and the what? The mouth. And they both have to be connected, and they both have to be working. You can't doubt in your heart. If you doubt in your heart and you say something, it's not connected. It's like the thermostat's set, but it's not connected to the unit on the roof. It's not going to work. It's not going to produce anything. And the same thing, if you do what? If you believe in your heart, but you don't say anything, you didn't set the goal. You didn't set the thermostat. So you're not going to get the desired results. So it's as if, you know, you've heard Brother Hagin say it and Pastor Hagin say it, don't face your mountain with your mouth closed. Well, that's the same thing. I can have faith in my heart, but if I don't set the temperature, if I don't set the thermostat, I'm not speaking to the mountain. I'm not releasing some words. So what happens? I set it. It's like a person that it's 90 degrees in the house, and they set the thermostat to 90, what do you get? Nothing. It's inactive. And you're complaining it's so hot in here. Well, set the thermostat lower. Change the thermostat if you want different desired results. So if you want different results, you've got to change the thermostat. You've got to set it differently. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, these are the keys, and let me just read Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall what? Shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So again, what is it talking about? Not letting something, what? The word of God depart out of your mouth, but meditating on it day and night, observing to do, and you will make your way prosperous. And you'll have what? Good success. That means blessed. That means healed. That means prosperous. Hallelujah. That's how we get, you know, sometimes it could take a while to achieve something. And I used that example a couple of Sundays ago, which I thought, you know, helped. It said, if I came over and handed you some money, you have to first do what? To benefit from it, you have to do what? Receive it. You've got to receive that money. If I came over and gave you a couple $100, you've got to reach out and do what? Take it, because you believe I said, here, have it. And you say, yes, sir, I'll take it. So you took it, but if you stuck it in your pocket and didn't spend it, then you didn't benefit. So that's like faith without works. If you say, glory to God, I received some money, but then didn't act upon it, didn't spend it, then you didn't benefit from it. The money is of no good to you. No benefit. So it's got to be the heart. It's got to be what? The heart and the tongue connected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let me just read this from the, we've been reading this lately, I like this, the Mark 11:23 from the Johnson translation. It says, truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. And really, it's the same thing. If I don't become separated, or I don't change my mind on setting the thermostat, then I will actualize, or I will realize the 70 degrees, if that's what I set it to. But if I keep moving it, I'll not receive it. What does that mean? You've become separated from the goal. You said one thing, and now you've changed it. You became separated from that. So that's really, I mean, just again, same example. We're just approaching it a different way. We're just, you're talking about a thermostat, right? It's nice outside today. If it was hot, maybe it would mean more to you, right? You were sweating in here. You'd say, yeah, turn that cool on, right? But, you know, again, I used that example a couple of weeks ago, and I heard him years ago at some Kenneth Copeland meetings. This was years back in the early 80s, 81, 82, when he was alive at the time, Charles Capps. And he talked about how he began to apply these principles in his own personal life. And he talked about, you know, in two examples, he was an outdoors person. He was a big farmer. He had thousands of acres of land that he was a farmer. And then began to see some things in the Word of God, but he said he liked to hunt. And he said whenever he would go into the woods and hunt, he would inevitably get poison ivy. And he'd just get poison ivy all over his body from head to foot. And he began to see the Word of God and the principles in it, and he said, you know what? I'm going to begin to speak and release words of healing to my body. And he said, but at the same time, he would go to the store and get a bottle of calamine lotion, put it all on his body, and so forth, and it would do what it would do, right? But he said it took about 6 to 8 months to a year, and he began to, every time he'd get poison ivy, he would speak the Word of God over him, and he'd put the calamine lotion on. And he said it took about a year, but he said he would then go into the woods and grab the poison ivy, strip it down off of the vine, and he said it wouldn't bother him. He began to do what? Change the conditions in his body. How did he do that? By changing the thermostat, setting the thermostat to something different, right? My body has been redeemed, Galatians 3:13, my body has been redeemed from the curse of the law. So I'm not subject to it. Why? Because Christ hath redeemed me. I've been redeemed from that. So I don't have to live with this. My body can respond differently to what? The life of God that's in me. And so when I begin to speak the word of God, I'm releasing the life of God in my spirit, and it begins to change the conditions. I'm setting the thermostat different. And then he used another story. He talked about fishing. He liked to fish. And he said they were out in a rowboat, bunch of guys, and some were on one side, and he was on the other side. Maybe it was a bigger boat than a rowboat. But anyways, his story was they were on one side, and he was on the other. And he began to do what? He said, I began to call all the fish to my side of the boat, to my pole. And he said, I'm pulling the fish in. They're getting nothing. And they said, hey, can we switch sides? You seem to have all the fish on your side. He said, sure. He went on their side. They went on his side. They caught nothing. He's still calling the fish. They went to his side of the boat. They switched sides. So the point was, he began to work the word of God in his life to change the conditions in every situation of his life. So whether we're looking for more money, whether we're looking for a better job, whether we're looking for a different condition, healing in our body, more money, whatever that is, a better marriage, different situations in life, we can release or change the thermostat. We can change that. But we have to decide. What did it say? It says, that's what I like about James. Let's go back over there and look at this one more time. James chapter 3 again. And verse 4, it said, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds. So the condition can be big and there can be fierce winds, but what does this say? Yet are they turned about. Say turned about. So the conditions, the ship, the direction you're going in, the conditions you're faced with can be turned about, can change, can be turned about. It says, with what? A very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. That means you have to decide. The ship didn't decide. The rudder didn't decide. The governor decided. So that's where it starts. You've got to decide to go to that thermostat and set the desired results or the desired outcome. Then the heart, the tongue will begin to set the goal, begin to set what it is that you hope, and then the heart will begin to work. And begin to work and keep working and keep working and keep working and produce the desired result. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm finished because these kind of things excite me because we're all face, every one of us face things in life, and if we want them changed, we've got to know, first of all, is it promised in the Word of God? And if it is, then I need to set the desired result, connect my heart with my tongue, and begin to release words of faith, and the heart begins to do what? Those words that come out are what? Faith-filled spirit. They're spirit and life. And they begin to change the circumstance. Amen. Little by little, little by little, little by little, the circumstances are changed. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you get a little something out of this. I like sometimes to use natural examples. It helps sometimes. It helped me through the years. Because sometimes you take spiritual principles and you say, okay, how does that work? How does that apply to me? You know, and sometimes Jesus did it. All through his ministry, he used natural examples. I'm thinking about a couple that were members here for a long time and relocated to Afghanistan. They're way, way, way up north in the mountains. And he said, you know, his wife has to dress in a burqa and all of this. You know, they're undercover, basically, literally undercover. And he wears all of the native garb and robe and so forth. But you cannot proselytize or you be dead. He was sharing how some woman or young girl in their village, you know, began to listen to the stories. They began to share stories about the gospel in a way that would be a story. And that's all they can do. And she began to become more interested. And he said, you know, an interested listener. And he said she ultimately at some point received Christ. And they set out house by house to kill her. The family were going to kill her. And they had to scuttle her out of the village and get her out of the country because they were set on killing her. That's the environment that they live in, right? So you have to be very spirit-led. You have to know who you're talking to and what you're saying. So I tell you, it's exciting to me to know that we've got the freedom to speak the word of God, talk it, and live it, and not have any restrictions, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, I think we're finished. What time is it? Almost 9 o'clock. We're done. But take these things to heart. Begin to apply them. If you're not already applying them, apply it in a different area. Or if you are applying it, find an area that you want some better results. You know, to me, if God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, then he's not telling me, in other words, he's saying, go into all the world and just preach the gospel. So there's areas of this county, just taking a look at this county, There's segments of population. The biggest segment, ethnic population in this county is Jewish. It's almost 35%. And so I decree, since God set us in this county, I decree that we have avenues into that group of people. When I say group, I mean God, Jesus died for them. And I'm decreeing that we are going to have some avenue in to share the gospel. I know some people right now. I know one lady that does a process professionally. She's a registered nurse and was director of nursing, and she administers this process, and she has Hasidim and Rebbe's come to her, and she talks, and she's a Christian, and they want to know, you know, like they talk, you know, she said the wives talk and the Rebbe's talk to her, and she don't pound them with the gospel. But it's an interesting scenario. I just said to her, you know, you have a door, you have an opening to these people. And to share the gospel, and it's just planting seed into the hearts of the people, you know. And they're curious; they want to know how can she talk to God. And that's how they're thinking. They're like, "Well, we're the Jews. We're the Hasidim. We are the true, you know, not necessarily seed, but we're the ones that talk to God. How could you talk to God? You see, so that's how they think." And so when they're curious to know how can she have this relationship with God? How's that even possible? And yet, in some of the discussions that she has with them and talks, they are struggling with all of the issues of life, but they don't talk about it. See, and they're struggling. So it's I still go back to saying it's the love of God, walking in love, and seeing the demonstrations and the power of God is going to draw people to Christ. Yeah. And this is where we start. We're going to start confessing. And when you think about it, just decree. We have avenues into the Hasidim and the Jewish community in this area. And it may not be you, but you decree it and confess it, and God will begin to open up the doors. And it may not even be Redeeming Love Christian Center. It could be somebody else, but it's the point of saying we have access. You know, I heard when Leanne Sozeby was here, you know, they pray, and the Hagen Ministry, they pray. There's some that pray for revival in certain areas, and they pray for things, and God gives them a heart to intercede and pray for certain things, and those prayers open up doors for ministries and individuals to go into foreign countries where doors have been closed, but it's been the intercession of others and the words of others. So it may not even be us, but God died for them, right? And desires to see them come into the knowledge of the truth. Amen.